Hello, I'm the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. You can find me at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic. So thank you very much, first of all, for listening. I'm planning on trying to keep it short, but who knows? But thank you very much for your time and for listening to me. I really, really appreciate it. I love looking at my numbers, and I'm very, very grateful to every single person who is listening and or downloading my podcast. Thank you so much. So today is kind of a review, semi-rant about a book that's still in ARC right now, as of July 28th. It's Within These Wicked Walls by Lauren Blackwood. And I was drawn to the description because I am a huge Jane Eyre fan. I've discovered that for the most part, people are either Jane Eyre or Wuthering Heights. They're not and, they're ors. And that's because Charlotte and Emily wrote about basically, I believe, from what I understand, and I could be completely wrong, but they basically wrote about the same guy, but in just two different takes of it. And so they are completely different in how they approach this guy, so Heathcliff slash Mr. Rochester. And so I'm an Eyre fan. I cannot read Wuthering Heights at all, but I love, love, love Jane Eyre. I've read it multiple times. It's one of the only classic, quote unquote, classic books that I've read multiple times and can enjoy each time I read it. And I love looking at the different versions and telling everybody how bad all of the versions of the movie are. I haven't found a good one yet. I really haven't. I found some close ones, but never quite good enough. So here I am reading this the blurb on this one, and it's a Jane Eyre. It's a retelling of Jane Eyre set in Ethiopia, which isn't really necessarily stated from the very beginning. You just kind of have to read, hey, it's Ethiopian inspired, to go, oh, okay. But it's set in the desert. And there's some awkwardness in terms of timelines and how longs, and sometimes the time seems to go too fast or too slow. I'm not quite sure how she was Blackwood was tracking the time within the story. Like, does it take half a day to get someplace? Does it take an hour to get someplace? How long does she stay there? That kind of stuff. So those little nitpicky things did bug me and kind of drew me away. But the idea is, we have Andromeda. Andromeda is a Deptera or a Deptera. I couldn't quite figure out how to say it. There was a point in the book very early on where there was a phonetic pronunciation, but I wasn't sure if Deptera was the mispronunciation or the correct pronunciation. And I just was like, let me move on through. I didn't go back and reread. So I'm going to say Diptera. Andromeda is a Diptera. And she's basically a ghost cleanser. She takes care of evil spirits and manifests manifestations. She has been trained since she was tiny, tiny, about 5 years old, by this old guy with, one leg or a peg leg. And he's hired by the church, and the church will keep him in food and clothes and keep him doing his thing as long as he's raising a new Deptera to take over someday. So she's been doing this for years and years and years. This is like 12 years now she's been with him. She's 17 or 19 years old. I think it's 19. But she's been doing this since she was like 5. And early on, we're told that he bought her from her parents. You find out later what he really did, and it's kind of honorable and everything. But she was raised, he was gruff. He was a very gruff guy. It turns out he had faced a very huge manifestation of the evil eye, years before he found her, and it had. This manifestation had affected him so deeply that he cannot touch people. He just cannot bear human touch at all. No hugs, no touching, no handshaking, nothing. He cannot stand it. So he wears clothes that completely cover him, and he refuses to touch. So she has been raised since she was 5 to not hug, not touch, not feel affection. He has been trying to raise her on the streets to be strong and powerful and, you know, give her all these survival instincts that she'll need so she can fight, she can, you know, she can run, she can shoot, you know, all this stuff. But also, she can do these magics. And apparently, I couldn't always quite understand it, but apparently what it is, these silver discs or silver plates that you draw on with like a metal pen or soldering type thing, and you can put metals on it. You can, you know, solder the gold or wrap the gold or silvers or whatever around it. And basically, Debterra can feel the patterns of the manifestations, these ghosts, these hauntings, these evil eye poltergeisty things, and can trace onto the silver a pattern that will block that thing. So if you have a tiny little pest following you around for a little bit of coin and about an hour, a Debterra can tink, 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 tink all over a metal disc and give it to you, and you can either wear it as an amulet, or if it's haunting a room, you can nail it up in the room, and it will stop the manifestation. So that's kind of cool. So that's the haunting. We don't have Bertha here. We don't really have a Grace Poole, kinda-ish. There's not a lot of the similar characteristics in terms of that, but we have Andromeda, and we have Magnus Rochester, who has hired her sight unseen, and she is like the 11th of the Debterras he's tried to hire to clear out his house, because his house hasn't just been haunted or anything. His family has been cursed with a hyena, and this is like the high echelon of the evil eye. And so it makes it so that if Magnus looks a person in the eye, then the hyena will manifest and kill that person. So Magnus doesn't look anybody in the eye. And the housekeeper, Peggy, is very Christian and very God-oriented and very God will save us. And so these stupid little rumors, these stupid little, you know, witchcrafty things are dumb and they're worthless and they don't do anything and God will protect us. So she doesn't allow anyone in the house to wear amulets that would protect him. So Andromeda comes in and she's wearing a pretty strong amulet, so she can look Magnus in the eye and nothing will happen. But any of the servants look at Magnus in the eye, accidentally or on purpose, the hyena will come, the hyena will kill them, and they will be sucked up into the house. And so it's kind of disturbing that way. But here's where it bugs me. It is semi Jane Eyre, and Rochester is made to look like he's standoffish, but his reasoning for being standoffish and the Jane Eyre version for being standoffish are very different. Also the ages are different. Magnus is 20 when he turns 21. Horrible bad things will happen. So he's trying to get rid of this evil eye, get rid of these manifestations. And it's not just the hyena. There's a lot of little ones all over the place. I mean, there's an evil librarian. And as a librarian myself, I think that's hilarious. So if you go into the library and you mess around, she will throw books at you, and hard, heavy books at you. And so while the librarian can't hurt Andromeda directly because of the amulet, she can throw things. So that's kind of an actually cute little humorous scene for a little bit there. I just think that's hilarious. But going back to the thing, Magnus Rochester is too young. He's almost 20 years younger than Rochester and Jane Eyre. And he's very he's all over the place. It's not quite bipolar, but it's just, you can't figure out where he is. And some of it is he feels guilty, he feels bad, he's got this evil eye, and so you understand why the grump comes. But sometimes he just tries to be silly, and sometimes he tries to be weirdly romantic, and it doesn't come off right, at least when I'm reading it. So it was just kind of oddly placed. Sometimes the conversation would be a little weird. And sometimes the conversation also read similar to Jane Eyre in the more, formalized language. And sometimes it read a little modern. And so that was a little kind of disconcerting. I would get pulled out every once in a while for that. The story itself is decent. I can't argue with the story itself. It's got it's got some good ideas. It's got some really great moments. It does have some pacing issues. She keeps leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. And I know Jane Eyre left and came back, but it wasn't quite the same. And the ending is kind of like, wait, what? And so every time there's a fight with a manifestation, there's a distraction of I'm trying to use my metal pen on my silver disc and make the amulet or make the thing that will block them. And sometimes it's very easy for her. She's like, click, 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 nail it on the wall. My room is warmer because the house is freezing, even though they're in the middle of a desert. So she makes her room warmer. It's super fast. No, the manifestation in that room goes away. Whatever it was that was freezing that room up just leaves. And so now she's got a nice little toasty room, but not super hot. She can temperature control with a silver disc. And there's other things that are going on. We do have the girl that she's like, oh, I'll never be as pretty as her. Because apparently at some point, Andromeda in the past, a few years before, was being attacked and bullied by girls. Not a manifestation, but she got super scarred from girls who were beating the crud out of her and were gonna kill her, basically. The guy who's been raising her saves her from that, and she's now got this horrible scar, which is why she's, a plain Andromeda, like a plain Jane. She's got the scar across her face. But we do have the beautiful girl who we think is going to marry him, but no, it's not. They've been like best friends forever, and he cares about her, but not like that. And so even though he had proposed when they were like 13, they agree to go and not be married. And, it's not the same as the whole relationship in Jane Eyre, but it does, again, it has its moments. It has some very interesting characters. I like Saba. I like Jember. I like Andromeda overall. There's a couple of decisions she make that I question, but okay. Rochester, however, no, I don't like him. And that's why I can't give this one like a woohoo, because Rochester himself bugs me. The character is just inconsistent, and it's not because of moodiness. It's not a character trait being inconsistent. It seems to be a writing thing. Just like the time. How long does it take to get to the town? Does it just take an hour? Does it take days? It's hard to tell how far away things are, how the time works. Is she only going to be there for a few minutes? How long has she been gone? All this other stuff. That's the issue. I question Rochester as a character, and I question the timing. I question how long things last. It's like I'm not quite sure where things are that way. The rest of it, the story for the most part is pretty good. The characters, I like many of them. The magic is interesting. It's still not super clear what everything happens. I think I would like to have seen, the cover is gorgeous, but I think I would like to have seen, like, if there's one of those discs or whatever. I see an amulet on the cover on the girl. I'm looking at it right now. But it's kind of like a cross, and I'm not sure if that's because they keep saying silver discs. So I'm not sure why that's a cross, if that was an artist thing or if that's really supposed to be a cross. Okay, that's the one other nitpick. God. I am not super gaudy. I don't like, go, ooh, God. My religious thing is my religious thing, of course, but and everybody has their beliefs, but every once in a while, it kind of slaps you across the face, you know, and then it goes away. And then the very first thing she does at the end of the book is thank Jesus. So I get that, and I understand it as part of the story, but it did kind of pull me out every once in a while just because of my own personal thing. But again, that's me. So that's not a nitpicky that should affect other people. That's just me. But yes, I am nitpicky about the character of Magnus Rochester. I am nitpicky about the time and the how long it takes. And I'm just kind of, you know, dealing and having to work through my feelings of how this starts off Jane Eyre-esque but ends up completely weird and goes in a whole other direction. And so while the beginning of it has the Jane Eyre feel, while the idea of a plain Jane going to take care of something in a house with a man named Rochester, that's there, it doesn't last. So it's not fully Jane Eyre. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being run, avoid, stay away as far as possible, caution tape, you know, if you even try and start to read this, ask for people to pay you for it because it's not worth it otherwise. 5 being, this is amazing. You've got to read this book. This one's going to be about 3. So 2 is and 3 is and 4 is So 3 is and that's where I am. I'm kind of like, I'm not ready to go up to 4. I'm not even ready to really go up to 3.5. But it's not so bad that I will go Again, it has its moments. It has some good characters. The mythology is interesting. The magic is interesting. But again, things don't play right. The amount of time that happens, the passing of time within the story. There we go. That's what I was looking for. The passing of time in the story is odd and keeps changing how long things take and how fast things happen. And it's hard to tell what's going on. When you start off at the beginning at 10 o'clock at night is when everybody has to be in their rooms to protect themselves from the manifestations wandering the halls. And that's when she's supposed to be working to take care of the little manifestations. But all of a sudden, it's days later, and we've heard about, like, 2 rooms, and that's it. And then after a while, it's like, well, you've done so much already. Really? When? The time that passed, and you didn't tell us about these things. I don't understand things that just feels like, you know, things got missed. If she's done so much, why isn't it something like, you know, I go to bed tired at the end of the day having done, taking care of 4 manifestations in 3 different rooms, and my hand is cramping from holding, you know, those kinds of things. Where is that to help us understand how much she's doing and that passage of time? But again, good characters, good over story, good magic, just Rochester is annoying and the passage of time bugs me. So there we go. That's my review, kind of ish rantish thing on Within These Wicked Walls. Again, it's by Lauren Blackwood. It should be coming out August, I think. Now I'm having to scroll through and I feel stupid while I'm doing that. But okay, so it's coming out soon, and it will be, hopefully it'll be something that people will enjoy, and if nothing else, I hope it creates a couple of people getting some curiosity about Jane Eyre and maybe going and reading Jane Eyre, because I personally, again, love Jane Eyre. Awesome, awesome classic book. I prefer modern stuff, but that one's good. So again, Library Talker, librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic. Thank you again for listening. Apologies if there were any spoilers in there. I was trying to avoid that, but I think I might have dropped a couple. And yeah, so 3 out of 5, Within These Wicked Walls, Lauren Blackwood. And thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a good day. Bye.